Accession number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, Reel 9. Now, we're just looking briefly at that. Can you take us through some of these other duties you had, you know, just briefly, because I know you don't remember this period too well. What other things were you doing, various duties in India?
Well, first of all, I had a petrol dump, of course. I was in charge of that. And then, then I was posted to Delhi, and I was in the telephone exchange there, and I was given a watch. But then we decided to set up these G radar stations, which were actually navigation aids to civilian aircraft, not Air Force at all, not Royal Air Force. We were working for the city, and we did that.
And how long were you doing that for?
Until I was posted back to Bombay to go home.
Now, when was that?
Dear.
46?
Yeah, 1 minute. Where are we? 46. Yeah, 46. Yeah, because 46. I got back home just before Christmas, 46.
Yeah.
And from 114 degrees in the shade, got home to a blizzard.
So you'd be demobilised in January, were you? 47? Or was it actually December 46 you were demobilised?
No, I was demobilised. No, I was just... I was demobilised just before Christmas, yeah. In December.
Now, what happened when you were demobilised? What sort of a thing happened? I mean, you were a warrant officer, weren't you?
Yeah.
So what happened when you were demobilised? What did you get?
Well, you got a civvy suit of clothing.
And you good?
Very good, actually. Very good.
Yeah. You wore it then?
Oh, yeah, eventually. Yeah. I think mine was made... Yeah, they were. The suits were very good. And shirts and shoes and every, you know, full civilian kit.
Now, you are now back into civilian life.
No. I was still on leave, actually, from DMOB in December. I was still really in the Air Force until February. I was still in the Air Force in February. And that's when I returned to the dockyard.
Now, that's what I want to ask you about. You'd been a warrant officer, quite senior. You'd had a lot of responsibility. You'd led missions behind enemy lines. You'd done all this sort of stuff. What were you going to do when you came out of the RAF? Did you ever think of staying in the RAF, you know, as a regular?
I did think about it, but I decided not to.
Now, why not?
Because, I would have been flying again, and I would have been flying V-bombers, and all they did was they flew round and round and round carrying an atom bomb, you know, these great big Vulcans and things like that, and great aircraft.
Now, you didn't fancy that?
No.
Why not?
Well, wartime and peacetime was quite different. Wartime, you were doing something which you thought was worthwhile. But in peacetime, there was a lot more bull, if you know what I mean. They used to have
I know what you mean, spit and polish, that sort of thing.
That's right, yeah, and parades and that for no reason at all, you know, just they found you things to do.
Now,
there wouldn't have been any more flying or parachuting or anything like that.
Now, you returned then to the dockyard as an apprentice again?
As an apprentice, to continue my apprenticeship. I had two more years apprenticeship to do.
How did you fit in? How did you find it when you went back to
the
dockyard?
Well, it was quite easy. I was still young. And I accepted, you know, it was... I never talked at all about what I'd done. Never did I speak at all about it. Not until about 40 years afterwards. I just accepted that life as it was.
How did you acclimatise to civilian lifestyle? Because, I mean, it's different.
It is different.
How did you... I mean, and you're not getting any excitement or drama or anything. How did you acclimatise? Did you have any problems?
No real problems. It just got a bit boring, you know.
Any problems? I mean, some pilots take to drink, some can't cope with
it. I didn't do any of that, no.
Any nightmares?
There must have been occasions, yeah, there must have been, yeah.
But you were all right as far as you were
concerned? Oh, yeah, yeah. I accepted the fact that I'd gone back and I was, once again, I was a boy, if you know what I mean. I was still younger.
And you stuck it out to the fin- you finished the course?
Yeah.
The
well, they cut it down from two years to a year and a half.
And then, and briefly, then what was your career? We don't go into your career after
well,
much.
Well, I was on ship repair, working on ship repair. And then later, I went on to actual ship building. We started building ships. And for a while, I was called a liner on ship building. But I was going to evening classes to learn navigation. Navigation?
No, you don't mean that.
No. I mean naval architecture. Naval architecture. I found that tough. I wasn't terribly interested in that. But I managed to get through. And eventually I became a draftsman and a technical officer. Which I no longer worked at my tools in the dirty, dangerous situation.
That was better. Was that your final career as a technical, as a draftsman?
Yes.
Technical officer?
Yeah.
I thought you went to the prisons.
Ah.
Prison service. That's later though, is it? Much later.
No. Sometimes I was a technical officer, sometimes I was a draftsman. It depended what they wanted at the time. But then a job came up with the Home Office Prison Department.
What as?
An industrial manager.
And
but for a period of years, for the first 2 years I worked in London, where I was I was into the purchase of machinery and plant, mainly. And I had to learn a lot about all the industries that are being industries that have been
connected with the prison department.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I can sense you're getting a bit tired now, so just wrap it up quite quickly. What I want to ask you now is whether you had the physical effects of your service. Now, one of them was you'd suffered leg damage, hadn't you? You'd had burns.
Yeah.
Now, the burns had cured, had been sorted out quite well. Did you
eventually
have any further trouble with the burns?
No. Yes, when I was working in the dockyard with oil and red lead and things like that, I had to be careful. There were occasions when I used to get infection into my skin.
And the burnt area, your hands and your neck?
No, my back.
Your back, that was the main, yeah, and your hands.
The hands mainly.
But that, in the end, that wasn't the main. You had an unknown problem after the accident. Now, we haven't talked about this because you didn't know about it at the time. Now, tell me what the problem was with your legs.
My leg, yeah, well. Yes, I had a problem with my knee, and first of all they removed the cartilage, and then they did a bigger operation on my accident.
Now what had happened? Why was this happening then? What's that got to do with the accident? Could you just explain it for them? Cause they
well, the cartilage has been damaged.
By the compression or the
yeah, by the
shock.
Compression, that's right, in shock, yeah. But that wasn't all. It was the whole knee joint was, there were problems there. And I went back into hospital and they sort of removed the joint and put it back again, if you know what I mean. But that was never very good at all, not at all. And
so it was getting worse as you got older?
Yeah. And it, of course, it started to affect my circulation, blood circulation in that leg.
The left leg.
Yeah. Well, they started working on that later on in the 70s, and then again later on, and eventually I got. MRSA.
Now, what year was that, roughly? 4 years ago?
Did I say, oh, I can tell you. I think I can tell you. June 1999 was when the left leg was amputated.
That's after the MRSA infection. And that is a direct result, with the exception of the MRSA, of your wartime injuries.
It was really, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think you've been...
In addition to that, I'd also had heart attacks and things like that, you know, pneumonia and... I died twice, actually.
Was that a result? Would that be a result of your war?
No,
that was just general.
Yeah.
Do you feel as if you've been well treated, that they've looked after you, as you know, the National Health Service and doctors, as well as could be, or do you think you've been let down a bit?
They did their best, I think. But as far as this MRSA is concerned, the... things could be cleaner than they were, and really and truly it was through dirt and that sort of thing. I don't think the doctors and nurses and people like washed their hands enough. You know, they'd go from one patient to another without washing their hands. You do notice these things, and of course that spreads this disease.
Now, lastly, do you have any contacts with your old comrades from any of the forces you were in? Either, you know, the specials. You're in a lot of special forces, actually.
Yeah,
The special night service, and then there's, you know, the V force.
No, I just don't know. As far as flying was concerned, they were all Australians, New Zealanders, Canadians, and they went back home. I lost touch with them. You know, and they went to Europe and I went to India and Burma, so I lost touch with them. And as far as the lads with me in Burma, no, I've never had contact with any of them. Not really.
And when did people?
If I have contact with anybody, they weren't with me during the war, but we've got to, you know, get geriatric or ex-pilots and navigators always get together and chat, you know. Then.
Now, the last point is this Slapton Sands business. When did people find your involvement in it? Because there's quite a thing been made about Slapton Sands, the concealment and the rest of it. When were you contacted about that? When did people first find out about your part in the story?
As I say, I never talked about the war at all until they started to
investigate.
No, not investigate. They started to remember VJ, VE Day,
the anniversaries.
Anniversaries, yeah, that's right, anniversaries. And then I started to talk about it. And also I wrote about it. And as far as Tiger was concerned, first of all, I wrote for the papers around that area. And then somehow or other, they used to get to other papers. And for the local paper, once on my birthday, I wrote to them, Portsmouth News. And people have read and contacted me, people who are interested. Will contact me. So really, truly, I've ended up in quite a few papers, but also it's gone into about 4 books. I don't get paid for any of this, of course. It's all to do with ex-service organisations and things like that.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your help with this.